Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. What is an orphaned stronghold? How does it affect me? How does it affect you? Rob Gross illustrates the subject with his own personal journey in the book, You're My Bambino, From Dysfunction to Destiny. It's a story of a life characterized by depression and dysfunction to one of wholeness and freedom, a message of hope, demonstrating how one can experience dramatic healing in family relationships, even our land. And that's why we pause at the beginning of our show to remind you the reason we have the Good Life radio program, it's about healing, healing in Christ. Well, it's easy to hear about it and have a heart to want to know more about it, but how do you experience that? And how does it translate not only in our lives, but through those around us. Today, we remind you that we're here because of God's love for you. That God loves you so much, my friend, that he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for your sins. And he sent Jesus to shed his blood on that cross to wash your sins away. Christ was buried. 3 days later, he rose again from the grave, and today he calls you to himself. Pastor Rob Gross experienced the love of Jesus. We have. You can too. Pastor Rob Gross is the senior pastor of Mountain View Community Church. He and his wife Barb planted that church in 1992. A pastor to pastors, Rob earned his bachelor's degree, Phi Beta Kappa, from the University of Hawaii. He earned his Master of Divinity degree from Golden Gate Baptist Theological Seminary. Rob and Barb have three adult sons, Jordan, Brandon, and Jonathan. Pastor Rob, welcome back to our show.
It's great to be here, Danny.
What happened in 1974 when you were 15 years old?
I was on the island of Kauai playing golf with my dad. It was an amazing time. I remember the sunset so vividly and just enjoying my time with my dad. A couple of days after getting back from Kauai, my mom asked me to go into their bedroom, and my dad was sitting on the edge of his bed having a heart attack, and was taken to the hospital shortly thereafter. And within, I think, 2 or 3 days, he was gone. He died. He had open heart surgery. He did not make it. I did have the opportunity to encourage him and talk to him, but I did not expect that he would die. And so at the age of 15, I lost my dad.
What was your relationship like with your dad?
My dad was an ex-military captain. He was strict in many ways, didn't let me watch TV too much, but he was a very loving, very affectionate man. And so when he died, it devastated me.
What is an orphan stronghold?
Well, that's a great question. I think a lot of people have a hard time, especially within the Christian community, of connecting the word orphan to being a Christian. Because Webster's Dictionary clearly defines an orphan as someone who has lost one or both parents. And a lot of believers who have not had that experience say, hey, how can I be an orphan? But in the Bible, the word orphan comes from the Greek word orphanos, which means comfortless. The word stronghold, you can break it down real easily. A stronghold is something that has a strong hold on you. And so we have many strongholds where we experience comfortlessness. And I find it very interesting because the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of Abba, is referred to as the Comforter. And so the Comforter comes to comfort our comfortlessness. So in a nutshell, that's what a orphan stronghold is. But it's a series of lies, false conclusions. It's a mindset that you carry about yourself, about others, and about the Lord.
Your book, You're My Bambino, the cover of the father holding Bambino. Maybe you can describe or explain why you chose that title, and even why you chose that very tender, warm picture as your book cover.
I think as I've met many believers down through the years, is that they have the knowledge of God in their mind, but there's so many that don't know the Lord intimately, heart to heart. And this is where their orphan strongholds block or obstruct them from having intimacy with Papa God. And so that's why I picked the cover, because when I was in Argentina, many, many decades later, a woman walked up to me. She was a woman who prophesied in Spanish to a couple of pastor friends who were with me. And she looked at me and she said, cradling her arms, going back and forth like holding a baby, and she said, "You're God's Bambino." She said it in broken English. And I literally felt the presence of the Lord break over my head. And my good friend, Cal Chanen, who's a pastor, he said, "Wow, Rob, what a great word." And I thought to myself,
I can hear him saying that.
Shut
I can
up!
Too.
What a junk word. Everybody knows that God loves them. But I didn't really know it in my heart, because I was so performance-oriented and always striving to earn God's approval because of my family background, especially on my mom's side.
So Bambino, a Spanish word. Bambino means
baby.
You're my baby.
Yeah, you're my baby.
You're my baby.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned your mom.
Mm-hmm.
Yale University.
Mm-hmm.
Valedictorian of her high school class.
Yes, very smart lady.
You make reference to your mom's side of the family. What are you referring to?
Performance, in one word. I recall my grandmother, my grandfather holding a writing contest and inviting all the grandkids over and saying, you know, I want you to write a 10-page paper. You have 1 month to compile it. The winner, first place, will get $100. Second place, $75. Third, $50. And fourth place will get $25. And so we spent the next month writing this paper. I had no idea what it was about. I just wrote something. And then he convened us, and he handed out his $100 bill to, I think, my oldest cousin, and then to another cousin, got $75. I got third place.
So, hey.
I got $50. But my dear friend and close cousin, Steve, my grandfather said to him, you wrote a very poor paper. You get nothing. And I remember my aunt and uncle, whose home we had gathered at, stormed out of the room, furious. But that was the kind of atmosphere that I grew up in. If you got a B, you failed. And so it was always A's or, you failed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
now, your background, Rob, tell us a little about your ancestry on both sides of your family.
All right, so my father is a Austrian-Hungarian Jew, 100% Jewish, and my mom is fully Japanese.
And now, when did you make connection with your Jewishness?
Well, I was down in Argentina, of all places.
So this is years later, years...
Yeah, 2001.
So this is way after your dad passed.
Way after.
Okay.
And there was a Messianic Jew on the trip. This was Ed Silvoso Harvest Evangelism Conference.
Mm-hmm.
And he was speaking about to a Christian pastor about attending his Messianic synagogue during the trip. And I remember my wife kind of elbowing me and saying, you should meet him. And I'm thinking, oh God, you're setting us up. You're setting me up. I don't want anything to do with my Jewish heritage. But at that time, I started to have dreams I would dream of being at my father's grave. I would see all the Jewish things like the Torah scroll and the yarmulke. And I remember having another dream of the Lord wanting me to get into a swimming pool of Jewishness. And so the Lord was drawing me to my roots, but I wanted nothing to do with it.
Rob, was he a practicing Jew? So did you grow up with that religion?
He was not observant.
Okay, thank
you. My father was an atheist.
Okay. And what about Mom?
Mom had a Christian experience as a little girl, as a Congregationalist in New England, where she grew up.
So you definitely were not a church-attending family.
Oh, absolutely not.
Okay.
You talk about an orphan stronghold as a mindset there in your book, You're My Bambino. A mindset impregnated with lies on how a person perceives God, himself, and others. You say it is a fortress of lies. A strong emphasis, but elaborate further on the seriousness of that.
Well, I think the best way to share about, or rather to answer your question, is to talk about what I refer to as a healing continuum. And I use 5 or 6 P's to describe this continuum. Everybody has experienced some kind of pain or emotional discomfort. Now, for some, it's very severe. It's traumatic. In others, it could be as little as your parents were so busy working that they never poured into you, never spent time with you. They provided your shelter, your food, your education, but they really didn't spend time with you, mentoring you. Or, on the other hand, there was some level of abuse. And so pain leads to what I refer to as psychology, where a person has some kind of false conclusion about themselves, others, or the Lord. It's the lies that we believe about ourselves. And so you have pain, which leads to the psychology, which then leads to a promise that you make to yourself, because we're very tender, vulnerable individuals. And when we have a painful experience as a little one, we often make a promise to ourselves. The Bible refers to it as a vow. We say, I will never be like my dad. I'll never be like my mom. I'm going to show my father. He didn't believe in me, never encouraged me. So I'm going to be better than him. I'm going to be better than my mom was. I'm going to be a better mom. And so these vows set in motion this drive to be somebody. And so that was me. I had made all these vows, and I was just so performance-oriented. And then what we get to the fourth P, and we start to pose. What I mean by that is we take on false images, or we wear these false masks that truly aren't son or daughter in the Lord. And we present ourselves to other people because we don't want people to truly know who we are, because we're afraid of rejection. It's an aspect of the fall back in Genesis chapter 3.
Suzanne, when I listen to Rob talk, I get these mixed feelings. I want to hear more. At the same time, I want him to stop because he's getting too close.
You notice I'm over here nodding my head?
He's getting too close to me. It's like a revealing. He knows me. He knows me. And I wonder, as you listen to him today, dear one,
yes,
if you have a sense that, hey, is he talking about me? Well, you're not alone. And could it be that the Lord, through this, in a very gentle way, is opening us up by his gracious hand to do some work on the inside of us? Yes, us. When we come back from our break, more from Pastor Rob Gross. I'm going to stay, okay? I'm going to stay here. I'm going to listen.
Some more peace to hear about.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to learn. And, you know, I want to let the Lord work in our lives.
Yes.
In my life, in your life.
In my life.
Because as we experience healing through knowledge and understanding, revelation, opening our eyes, we change. You know, the world around us begins to change. More from Pastor Rob Gross. You're My Bambino. He's the author of that book. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me.
I lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042. 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahawai of Properties International Limited, Chenan and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
It's a book ideal for either individuals or group study. The book, You're My Bambino, From Dysfunction to Destiny, by author Rob Gross. It's not only a book that offers a clear understanding of how childhood wounds may have caused us to feel and act like orphans, but it provides self-diagnostic tools, prayers, and tips about how to break free of the stronghold. Find out more. Pastor Rob Gross is also the founder of Family Legacy International. Go to familylegacyinternational.org to get the book and to find out more about Pastor Rob Gross and this very dynamic and timely ministry of healing. Pastor Rob, what are walls of protection that orphans build around them? You alluded a little bit to it, but take us further.
All right. A wall of protection is defined as a vow. The fallacy is we've never been in control, and that we truly can't protect ourselves. We either give control to God through faith, or we give control to the enemy through fear. Building a wall around our heart is something that we do unconsciously. That's why we often refer to them as inner vows. The best way I can describe it is I was on a trip to Israel one year with my oldest son, and it was actually my guitar along, and the guitar went through security, through a machine, but later, prior to getting on the flight, I think 20 minutes earlier, I was called. I thought I was going to be arrested and thrown in Israeli jail, and they said, is this your guitar? They didn't put it on the plane, and so they said, hey, you know, is this your guitar? And I said, yes, it is. They said, open it up. They were wanting to see how I would respond. See, Israeli security is fierce because of, yes, they're afraid of terrorists, but that's how our hearts are. Our hearts are fierce. We protect ourselves. We go to great lengths not to hurt again. And that's what a wall of protection is. It's a promise to self not to hurt in the future. But what it does is it sets in motion a computer program that obstructs or blocks us from actually moving forward with God.
Describe briefly. You elaborate on it extensively in the book, You're My Bambino. The six types of fathers you write about in the book.
Yeah, there are different kinds of dads. My dad, we alluded to him a little bit earlier, was a good dad. This is probably the most difficult dad to forgive. When we ask someone who has a good dad, they say, oh, I had a great dad. I can't remember him saying a bad word to me. You know, he was loving, he was kind. And yet in my case, my dad died. And I didn't realize that it released into my spirit or into my soul a stronghold of abandonment, mm-hmm. which really, you know, blocked me from moving ahead. And I was very fearful of those in authority because my dad was an authority figure. So that's the good dad. Then there's the absent dad through workaholism or divorce or separation. He's just not around. And so you don't have the mentoring. You don't have the relationship. You don't have the closeness. Then you have the authoritarian dad. Michael Jackson's father was an authoritarian father. Michael Jackson in 1997 was interviewed and he said prior to performing, his father would, you know, look at him or glance at him from behind the stage with a very mean look, which suggested if you mess up tonight, you're going to get it. And he would say that his dad would often, if he performed poorly, would take him into his dressing room, take a hanger, pour motor oil over his head, and then beat his thighs to a pulp. And so he had a very authoritarian, my way or the highway kind of dad, where an individual like Michael Jackson would experience law instead of grace. So each kind of father, type of father, reveals to the child what God is like. Moms are also a part of this as well. So there's the good dad, the absent dad, the authoritarian dad. There's also the passive father. This is probably, believe it or not, the most destructive kind of dad, and that's the dad that doesn't speak to you. Mm. Very few words are spoken. The abusive dad is better than having a father that doesn't talk to you. And then there's the performance-oriented father who, you know, love and affirmation and affection is given in response to your personal performance. And so these are some of the father types.
So what's the difference between orphan and sonship?
Well, sons know they belong in the father's heart. A lot of children don't know that their mom and dad carry them in their heart. There was a trauma in the family, early childhood death, one of the siblings, the parents go into depression, the parents are too busy working, the parents are abusive in some way, and children don't have the capacity to understand what's going on in the family. So they come to these false conclusions, that's the psychology I referred to earlier, and they think, well, mom and dad don't care about me. And so they are disconnected from their parents' hearts. So the son or daughter knows that God the Father loves them and carries them and will provide and will speak to them. So for example, a child who has a passive father, when they become a believer later on, they don't think God can talk to them. I've seen it over and over. God doesn't speak to me. You know, I can't hear his voice. So there's a direct correlation between the type of parent and how the child views God later on in life. So
When we think about the good, the absent, the abusive, authoritarian, passive, or performance-oriented father, do we have to wait till, let's say I had one of those fathers. Do we have to wait until they're no longer here before we can change or before they can change? Or have you seen a father go from abusive and then eventually change from being abusive, or from an absent father change to being a present father? Or do we have to make the change in the next generation?
That
How
is
does
a,
that work?
That is a very deep question. I would say that it seems like the children have to make the first move, which is really unfortunate because it's so much better when the parent goes to the child and confesses and apologizes for not carrying them in their heart and wounding them and hurting them. So much more effective. We've seen it. We've seen it over and over, but I don't know if it's a generational thing or a cultural thing, especially here locally, but it seems like the children have to make the first, the adult child has to make the first move back to their parents.
But isn't there also the problem of the fathers not even realizing what type of fathers they are?
Absolutely. And so what we'll do is often we'll have our facilitators. We have a Healing Hearts Ministry. It's a 10-week course. And our facilitators are trained, whether they're male or female, moms or dads, to go on behalf of a person's parents who are unaware or no longer with them from, you know, death, and to apologize. And this is the spirit of Elijah, turning the hearts of the fathers back to the children. It is very effective.
Well, my other thought is it's also generational. So maybe you have one of the fathers you've described, but then let's look at what type of father he had and what type of grandfather
Absolutely true.
It affects generation after generation until, as you said, Danny, the break is made with the child that turns that around with their parenting.
So in a moment like this, who are we speaking to? Or maybe we have to choose to direct what you're saying to apply to someone. Are we speaking to fathers, or are we speaking to... Well, maybe we are speaking to both.
Yeah.
Both have an application as far as what they'll do with it. Maybe the father is, what can a child do? Now, and when we say child, it may not be a little boy or a little girl. It might be the child, somebody in their mid-40s, that they're listening to you, Rob, and they're thinking, wow, he's talking to me. That's my life.
Mm-hmm.
What would someone say, hypothetically, in their 40s, do, especially if their father's still alive?
It depends if the parent is safe or not. If the parent is not safe, we don't recommend that you go and get further abused.
What do you mean by safe?
Yeah. If they're abusive, if they won't understand, if they'll turn on the adult child even further, further wounding them. But, you know, we've had people write letters. We've had people make phone calls. We encourage that if the parent isn't willing to make the first move, we encourage the adult child to do so. And you can't get around it. It's uncomfortable. But it's you know, going to the person, going to your parent and asking them to hear you out. And this is one of the things that, you know, I think I wrote in one of the chapters. The chapter was entitled, Just Apologize. Mm-hmm. It's so simple for parents. If they would just learn to apologize to their children for the way they hurt them. And so we say, you know, let your children vent. Mm. I saw this in action in, I don't want to identify the city, but I was on a mission trip to Asia. And when I got there, I was asked to go to a local hospital to minister to an adult woman who had just tried to commit suicide. Ministered and was later invited, maybe 7 days later, to her home by her father. The father gathered all the adult children, and he came out of a back room, not a believer, and he said, I have come to conclude that the affair that I had 40 years earlier with mom, I mean against mom with another woman, has somehow affected and impacted you and your desire to take your life, and I would like to apologize. I was floored. And then he said to his three adult children gathered there, I would like you to share with me how I hurt you. And each adult, with tears, told their father how they felt. I mean, it was amazing. One of the ladies who invited me to minister there said, you know, everybody thinks I'm a high-powered woman. I run companies. I've got it all together. But there's not a day that goes by that I don't feel insecure. And so the family just had the opportunity to talk about what happened. And all three adult kids are believers. And they said, Dad, you hurt us terribly, but we love you and we forgive you because we're Christians. Mm-hmm. It was an amazing time. And you see what happens according to the Bible is that when that happens, the land is healed. That's what it says in Malachi mm-hmm. 4, 5, and 6. And I think to address, you know, your question, Danny, that we're speaking to the person who's been hurt, we're speaking to parents who hurt their kids, but we're speaking to the Christian community. Because when we do this, the Bible says the land will heal. You see, when we heal to one another generationally, Suzanne?
Yes.
The king comes into the land. Mm-hmm. And when the king comes into the land flourishes and the land responds to us. And so this is a key, I really believe, to revival that we've been praying for so long.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Rob Gross, he's the author of the book, You're My Bambino, From Dysfunction to Destiny, FamilyLegacyInternational.org. That's how you can find out more about the book, more about Pastor Rob's ministry. When we come back, we'll talk about having Pastor Rob share about spiritual fathers. You know, what do you do if you don't have a father? What do you do if maybe your father is abusive or absent or performance-driven, one of these that he's mentioned, and maybe a blend of a few of those characteristics? What are spiritual fathers, and how impactful are they or could they be in our lives? More from Pastor Rob Gross when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Carrie Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waiahua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waiahua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is proud to have Dr. Carrie Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii radio show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Paul Cox of Aslan's Place in Apple Valley, California says, You're My Bambino is a dose of honesty about the essential nature of parenting. He's speaking about Rob Gross. Rob's the author of that book. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maurer. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you sharing in your time with us. You can find more about Pastor Rob at FamilyLegacyInternational.org. You can get this show, TheGoodLifeHawaii.com, this program there at TheGoodLifeHawaii.com. It's a free gift to you. Share it with a family member or friend. FamilyLegacyInternational.org. Rob, share with us how you've come to relate with spiritual fathers whom God's brought into your life.
That's a great question. I think the first spiritual father that God brought my way was Sam Webb. You know Sam, don't you, Danny?
Yes.
And I remember he called me and said, hey, I was praying, and I think you're supposed to come with me on a mission trip. And so we went to Guam and Thailand and Japan, Yokohama, Hokkaido. I got to tag along. And I remember, because I was very excited about signs and wonders and praying for miracles and things like that, I said, what are we going to do, the stuff, Sam? And he said, well, you know, Rob, it's really relational. And he would sit in Yokohama in Scott Dama's office, and family after family and person after person would go into his office, and he would spend the entire Sunday afternoon after church just fathering people and loving on them. And I remember he and Nancy, Sam would take all the guys out to coffee, and Nancy would take all the women out to shop. And they took everybody out to dinner. And for the first time in my life, because I was so orphaned, that I felt family. And I felt like I belonged. I felt fathered and cared for and mentored. And so he was the first. And then Cal Chinen came along and poured into my life for quite a few years. And then most recently, Dr. Paul Cox, who's been mentoring me for 15 years. And it's just Ed Delf from Arizona. He's also a spiritual dad. It's just, I can't believe that God did that for me, to bring fathers into my life, because I missed the most important years of a dad pouring into me.
What has that experience, and you can pinpoint certain things with each one. I share with you in some of the same things you've shared, going to a movie, watching movies with Pastor Webb, having coffee, and no rush, just time and sharing openly. And then here's the thing, Rob, it's not only one time, it happens over and over and over again. A year goes by, 5 years go by, and the relationship just grows. And you're right about how Nancy, what an amazing partnership, the reach and the consistency. And then it's global. They do that all over the world, don't they, Rob? As you've been a spiritual father to others, what have you tried to focus on transferring?
That I care, that I'm willing to listen. Sometimes people just need to vent. That I'm available when they call or they email me or they text. I want to treat them like they're really my kids.
And invest in them.
Yes, I was just about to say that. I'm willing to make an investment over time, like you alluded to earlier. And a lot of it is setting them free from the ways they think and the paths they're headed on, and sticking with them. And sometimes you have to be firm. Sometimes, you know, you parent.
Tough
you have
love.
To discipline. But they want it. They really treasure it because they've never had it.
Well, and especially because it's, if it's a correction nested in a deepened relationship that has been invested in over time, they can receive what
Absolutely.
You're saying, right? Now, you wrote about giving a young man $100. Mm-hmm. You offered the young man $100
yes.
in your book, but he couldn't receive it.
Right.
What happened in the dynamic of that encounter?
Well, to give you some backstory to that, he was orphaned or abandoned by his dad at the age of 3.
Oh.
He watched his dad leave. He pleaded for him not to go. And at that time, okay, so the pain was the abandonment, right? The psychology is, I'm on my own. the promise.
Maybe even that he wasn't worth it.
Yeah, I'm not worth it. And then he promised himself, I'll never, ever receive help from anyone ever again. Mm-hmm. Because if I do and they disappoint me, I'll be devastated. So I passed the $100 bill over to him. And I really believe the Lord had someone give me that $100 bill that day so I could give it to him. And he said, I can't receive it. And I said, the Lord has just told me to give it to you. Take it.
How old was he at that time?
In his early 20s.
Thanks.
And he was destitute at the time, not working. So I said, hey, just take it. He said, I don't know why, but I just can't receive it from you. I'm sorry. And he pushed it back. He wouldn't take it.
Mm. I want to mention three words. Words or phrases, description that you have in the book. As someone reads it, they might think, well, these sound new, like in utero, Yantelovian stronghold, mm-hmm. and parental inversion. Okay. A brief snapshot of a description of what each one of those phrases or words mean. In utero.
In utero wounding has to do with a mom being pregnant for 9 months and going through ups and downs emotionally or experiencing a wide array of different experiences, some good, some not so good. And the child experiences the emotions that the mom is going through. And so we know that they are in utero wounding. If mom is going through trauma while she's pregnant, the child can have trauma later on in adult life. Second one, what was the second one you mentioned?
Yantelovian stronghold.
That comes from, it's interesting, if you Google the word Yante or Yantelovian, there are over 800 entries on Wikipedia or if you Google it. And basically, it's a mythical town in Norway. And it is a stronghold where people in that region, Norway, Sweden, Finland, Loven comes from Moseloven or the Ten Commandments. Yanteloven is the Ten Commandments of social relating in that region of the world. It's kind of like...
Like a mythical character named Yante?
Yeah. Well, it's actually a town, and basically it has to do with, the best way to relate to it is the tall poppy syndrome that you find down in New Zealand. As soon as you start to succeed in New Zealand, people start to cut you down. It's a social stronghold of getting people to play or stay small. Mm. So you don't, success is not, it's frowned upon. It's not a good thing. And so the Lord showed me in a dream that that's very prevalent in Hawaii. You know, the whole phrase, who do you think you are? Mm. Right? You think you're better than me. Mm. And that whole kind of thinking keeps us from succeeding and being okay. It's kind of a false humility that it's not okay to succeed. Mm. So that's Yantelov. And it's in the book, chapter 17, I believe, if you want to read more about it. And then the last one was parental inversion. Yeah. I was parentally inverted. My dad died when I was 15, and so I became overnight the man of the house. And so my mom began to look to me, and I became responsible overnight, losing my childhood. Parental inversion is very, very common. Oftentimes through drug abuse or an affair or divorce or separation, one parent leaves or a parent dies. And so the oldest child normally is looked to by the remaining spouse to be the one to take care of their siblings. They become responsible overnight. They become very driven. They don't know how to relax. You see, this is the comfortlessness. Mm-hmm. This is the orphan mindset. I can't relax. I hate being responsible, but I can't not be. So that's parental inversion in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm. Pastor Rob Gross, the author of You're My Bambino, From Dysfunction to Destiny. You can get this book at familylegacyinternational.org. When we come back, keys to raising healthy children. There are, as a father, what makes a healthy father? What does a healthy father do? Pastor Rob writes some of these things in succession. Maybe we'll go over a few of these. If you're a dad, let's listen in. If you're a mother, maybe you can send this. Have your husband listen. Listen to it together. It'll not only be challenging, but it will bring hope and healing. The world, our world, needs good fathers. And we can be, by the grace of God. More with Rob Gross when we come back. Stay with him.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcast with friends and family from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Mahalo to Wahiwa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinanan Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, LNS Marine Services Consultants, Arsina Kailihiva of Purium, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Yes, Rob Gross mentioned Sam Webb of Every Nation, saying, I was drawn into Rob's journey and opened my own soul to further healing from the Lord. I can highly recommend you to journey with Rob to further wholeness. The Good Life Radio Show here, Danny Yamashiro, Suzanne Maurer, Pastor Rob Gross in studio with us today. Find out more about Pastor Rob and his ministry at FamilyLegacyInternational.org. The book, You're My Bambino, From Dysfunction to Destiny. Rob, what is the father's most important job?
I think it's the revelation of the Father.
Mm.
So, for example, the woman is caught in adultery in John chapter 8.
Mm.
She deserves punishment. That's what the law said. And so Jesus is the revelation of the Father. And so what does he say to her? Don't do it again. I forgive you. And so she experienced the unconditional love and mercy of the Father. And so that's the main thing is, again, you know, all the different father types are planting seeds in a child's heart about what the Father's like. And so we want to plant good seeds or reveal the Father. The Father is kind. He's, you know, kind. It's his kindness that leads us to repentance. He's forgiving. He's firm. He disciplines. He steers you to your purpose and to your destiny. He speaks words of encouragement over you to build you up, not tear you down. So it's very, very practical. A lot of it is presence, affirming words, and purpose and destiny, pouring into your kids. I was doing it with my second son last night. It was his birthday. He was over the house, and you know, he's going through a hard time right now. He's really struggling, and I was trying to break things down for him about what God's doing with him in this season, and to stick with it and to persevere, because in time, I see that, you know, he's gonna take over our church, and he's gonna be the next leader. So I'm trying to really raise him up, but being gentle with him and just there when he asks questions. And I call them all the time, all three boys. I call them, I send them notes, I tell them I love them, I'm in their lives.
Share some breakthroughs. Breakthroughs in your own home.
Well, I remember our third son, Jonathan. He's very mercy-wired. He's not like his oldest brother and our middle son, more shy, unassuming, a sweet, sweet young man. He's an accountant today. And there was a season where he was playing soccer. And I'm not a soccer guy. I'm a baseball guy. And so my second son was playing baseball. And I just loved it. And I would attend every game. And I didn't go to my third son's soccer games. I was tired. You know, I had to prepare the message for the weekend. And, you know, baseball takes 3 to 4 hours. And then to go to a soccer game on top of that, I was pooped. And so I didn't go. And he went to my wife, Barbara, and he told her, how come Dad doesn't come to my games? And so she encouraged him to come to me and tell me that he was hurt, that I'd hurt him. And so he very reluctantly came and said, Dad, you know, why don't you come to my games? You're hurting my feelings. And so from that day forward, I was on the sidelines, even though I had a hard time being there, not liking soccer too much. And I never missed another game after that. And I know to see me on the sideline championing him, you know, and cheering him on, being there for him, meant a lot to him. But I can see in retrospect that my lack of being as involved with him as I was my other two sons, that I hurt our relationship.
How important is blessing?
Ah, the word blessing comes from the Hebrew word barak, you know, like Barack Obama, barak. And it literally means to kneel. To kneel and present gifts. And so when you bless, you are releasing the Holy Spirit, I believe, to literally kneel before your child and present them with the gifts that they need to succeed and to fulfill God's purpose for their lives. It is the most powerful thing you can do. Abraham was blessed by Melchizedek in the Bible. Abraham blessed his son Isaac. Isaac blessed Jacob, and Jacob blessed Joseph. If you look into scripture, it says, in Genesis chapter 24, 20th verse or so, that Abraham was wealthy. Genesis 26, 12 through 13 says that Isaac was very wealthy, that he had a hundredfold return on his crops and now had discovered water resources. I think Genesis 30 verse 43 says of Jacob that he was exceedingly prosperous. And then in Genesis 45, 8, it says that Joseph fathered Pharaoh and ruled all of Egypt. So you can see the dynamic and the power of blessing that it geometrically releases increase so that the next generation starts at the previous generation's ceiling and they go further and farther. So why would you want to curse your children and speak evil over them, right? You want to bless them. This is God's way of perpetuating generational increase in blessing.
As we begin to wrap up today, how does this relate again? You touched on it earlier, I think, in the second segment, but how does this relate to healing our land?
Ah, excellent question. I think it really goes back to, I believe it's 1 Kings 17 or 18, somewhere in there, where Elijah went upstairs and he revived the widow's son, right? He lay on him three times. right? So the spirit of Elijah comes to revive the orphan. It is a dynamic, it is a revival principle that when the generations are healed to one another, God comes into the land and then the land responds. We know that the land can actually spit you out. But when the generations are healed to one another, the land flourishes. You know, my children, my son Brandon got married a couple summers ago, and my older son moved back into our home, into his bedroom. And there was a big brouhaha between the brothers because the younger brother felt like the older brother didn't give him enough time to transition. He gave up his, you know, took his room. And so I was so grieved as a dad that my two adult sons were at war with one another. My middle son wouldn't talk to my older son until they came over and he and the wife apologized. And then I was so happy as a dad. And I think we underestimate that God is a father and that he wants his children and he wants the generations to relate well and get along. Could it be that simple? That if the generations heal to one another, that the land would flourish and revival would just break forth.
I like your word, geometric. Geometric, what is it? Geometric expansion or geometric?
Expansion, yeah.
Expansion. Pastor Rob Gross, my friend, it's always a joy to have you, to share in our time together. I'm grateful for you being with us today. Thank you so much for joining us. Pastor Rob has written this book, You're My Bambino, but he's written other books as well, Family Legacy, as Legacy of Blessing is another book that he's written, and a book, Heavenly Places. We'll have to have him come back again sometime and exploring heavenly places, and you can share a little bit about
that. I'd be glad to.
But you can find all his works, all his resources there at FamilyLegacyInternational.org. Again, Pastor Rob, thank you.
Thank you, Danny.
I hope, my friend, that you've been encouraged today, even as Suzanne and I have, by the insights, deep insights from life. From Pastor Rob Gross, FamilyLegacyInternational.org. You know, God's timing. Yeah, God's timing. It's indeed perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, hey, I believe this is a perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifeforyou.com. Click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation for you there. And if you'd like to help us with your financial support to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehoy.com and click Partners. Numbers 6, 24, and 25, may the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. It's always a blessing to be with you. A special thank you to Rob Gross, FamilyLegacyInternational.org. Until next time, along with Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll leave